Folks, Pastor Gene here. What I'm going to do tonight for this message, I am going to air the message that I taught Sunday morning at the local facilities at Jacksonville, Florida. It's a timely message. It's not a message that everybody likes to hear. But, nevertheless, please listen intently, and if the word cuts you, then do something about it as a child of God. So God bless you as you listen. Let's go to that lesson right now.
Those weeds of unforgiveness. And then I want you to listen close and intently, okay? And when the Holy Spirit, through the word of God, speaks to you in an area, make a mental note. That's God speaking to you through the Word. And that's where He speaks to you the most. It's not normally an audible, but it can be. Or it can be God using another person to come and speak to you. But where I see He speaks to me the most is through reading of the Word. It's His Word. So the lesson today is entitled, Those Weeds of Unforgiveness. Those Weeds of Unforgiveness. This Bible study this morning is all about the Christian, God's people. It's not meant and intended for those who are lost and unsaved. It's for you, those who have been born and purchased through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross at Calvary. It's for you. It's for the church audience here, it's for those who's listening by internet or whoever may hear this who are children of God. Because I feel like in these days and times that we're living in, so much compromise has creeped into the individual lives of those in the church. Unforgiveness will kill you. Amen. Unforgiveness in the heart will cause pain, stress that you've never felt before. Why? We're going to let the Word tell us why. But when you are willing to harbor unforgiveness in the heart, there's no room in the child of God for that to be in your life. Not if you want to live for God and want to get close to God. Many times throughout our lifetime, we suffer bruises and wounds in the spirit that we don't even know are there. Amen. Most of the time, they start as small children, develops up through adulthood, and it's still there. I'm living proof of it. I'm going to share a story with you where that happened. And I'm sure many of you have the same. Many of you may have heart feelings toward your mother, your father, your aunt, your uncles, your children. Maybe your father never ever once told you, hey, I love you, or your mother. And things happen in life, folks. But you got to understand the driving force behind making these things happen is Satan and his unclean spirits. And if he can cause you to have a bruise or a wound in your spirit, guess what? It's like a nasty wound in your spirit, man, where the flies and gnats come around and then lay maggots in there and get it all festered and eat up. Pretty picture, isn't it? That's what happens in the spirit realm when you allow the unclean spirits to come in and start harboring within you, because they want to fester that up to where you never ever get over it. Why? Satan doesn't want you, God's children, to become strong and powerful in his might. And if he can do that through bruises and wounds in your spirit, he's going to start it at a very early age. So you'll never grow to be what it is God sent you on this earth for. With me?
Yes.
Psalms 109 verse 22 says, For I am needy, I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. Proverbs 18:14 says, The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear it? So the spirit gets wounded, and you open up yourself for demonic entity, for unclean spirits. Because it's wounded, and you're hurt, and you get mad, you spout off at others, you do things, why did I do that? You ask God to forgive me, He forgives you, and in not too long, bang, it's right back again. Why is that? Well, you've asked God to forgive you, child of God, but you haven't really dealt with the problem, have you? The problem is that root that's still down in your spirit. That's got to be taken care of. And you can't take care of it. Just say, Lord, help me here. No, you got to deal with the problem. And it takes some forgiveness on your part many times before that healing can start to take place, before that root can be pulled up. You ever pulled up roots out in your garden or weeds? You pull them up, and man, next day, what do you see? Them same old weeds are back, aren't they? Why? You didn't get to the root, did you? And a lot of times, those weeds will grow up to be little trees. And then those roots are really migrating around. And then it's hard to pull up. Try to pull them up and they snap off. You have to actually get in there and dig those roots out. Same thing in the spirit realm. Those roots of bitterness, anger, resentment are sunk deep down and they fester because they're never dealt with. And they're allowed to grow. And they'll grow in and attach themselves to other things. Anger, resentment, rage, all kinds of stuff. That's what we're talking about, folks. You got to deal with it. And a lot of times it comes through recognizing it. And then recognizing in your heart that there's unforgiveness there when that incident happened. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 22, Ephesians 4:22, and I'm going to go down to 32. Now listen, just listen. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If any of this is in your life, okay? God tells us to throw off your old sinful nature, your formal way of life, former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Have you ever been there? That old formal way of life. Instead, he says, let the Spirit, that's capital S, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. And how is that going to happen? In the Word. Dwelling upon the Word. Put on your new nature. What is your new nature? You've been born again through the Lord Jesus Christ, through His blood. And you now you don't have that old sin nature anymore. It's been crucified in Christ. So he's saying, put that new nature on. Don't go back and dig up all of the trash that you lived in prior to the conversion experience. Are you with me?
Yes,
stop telling lies. Back up verse 24. Put on your new nature. Created to be like God. He created you to be like Him. Truly righteous and holy. Stop telling lies. If you're telling lies as a child of God, there's no place in your life for that kind of deception and lies. So he's saying, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all part of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. You with me? Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Why? He tells us in verse 27, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. You with me?
Yes,
not losing you, Emma.
Nope.
If you're a thief, he's talking to God's people, okay? If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything that you say be in good, helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear you. 30. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own. Guarantee that you will be saved in the day of redemption. So, get rid, verse 31, Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. And I know, as I'm reading God's Word here, flashing through many of your minds are those things. Hey, well, I've done that. Yeah, I'm still doing that. Yes. Verse 32, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Pretty clear, isn't it? What God expects from His children. It's just like you have a child. You say, son, I don't want you out there after dark in that area. Why? Because your dad knows there's danger there. Just like your Heavenly Father said, son, I don't want you hanging out to where you're cursing, you're stealing, you're doing these things. That's God talking to you. Put that stuff away. There's no place for it because I don't want you to bring on me these things because it will grieve my Holy Spirit which lives in you. You with me? Hebrews chapter 12, 14 through 15. He says, work at living in peace with everyone. And work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. How do you become holy? Through Jesus Christ, you'd be made into righteousness. But don't take that as a license to ongoing sin because you will answer for it. Verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 12. Look after each other so that none of you fail to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Because that poisonous root of bitterness, that poisonous root will trouble you and it's going to cause you to corrupt many by the way you live or how you act. Because your actions have a reflection on other people. Amen. Whether you know that or not. So these are clear indicators here. They need no interpretation for me to tell you what it means. That's why I'm doing the New Living Testament, because it's telling you exactly what God has expected of us. You might say, yeah, but Pastor Gene, I've asked God to forgive me of everything, you know, and any, there's no roots of bitterness in me and there's no unforgiveness. Really? 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 You might want to take a look at what the Word says and really do an examine in your heart, because I know we've gone through prayer retreats, we've gone through these things, those things, but if we're not careful, some of that stuff seems to slip back, doesn't it? And we sometimes we forget where God brung us from, and we have to go back and do a recount. Hey, look, I've had some slippage here. I used to would never think that, or I used to would never let my eyes go there. Are you hearing me? Well, let's go on then. So how do we start? How do we start, you know, identifying, is there unforgiveness in my heart? Well, you know right now if there's unforgiveness in your heart. But the way to do it is take this list that I got there, go home, get along with God. You can't do this being interrupted with kids, being interrupted with life, okay? You have to determine in your life, I will set aside time for God, uninterrupted. If not, every day is going to be the same. You're going to be like a bicycle wheel going around and around, the same old thing. You got to stop and make time for God. If not, Satan will take all the time of your day. And we all have the same amount of time each day. It's how you use your time. Weeds. Many times when we're walking through and traveling through life, we find ourselves in the midst of a field of weeds. And those weeds represent sins in the life. They represent bitterness, all of that stuff that we just read. And sometimes they get so tall you can't even see over top of them. Any of you ever been in a wheat field, a total grown wheat field that's ready to be harvested? you can't see where you're at. Just like in a cornfield. But these weeds in the life that you're traveling down, look at all throughout your life. Well, yeah, you take a sickle out there and you mow it down flat, and the next week it's all back again. That's how our life looks a lot of times, because of these weeds of roots of bitterness and unforgiveness are all sprung up and they're allowed to grow. And cutting them off at ground level don't work. You may say, well, Pastor Gene, I've given my life to Christ. That's great. But that don't fix many problems. Many problems of the old prior conversion life are still there. They have to be dealt with. And until you deal with them, they're going to continue to be problems. And even after that, life is no cakewalk. You find you in a cakewalk and somebody's jerked all the chairs away and there's no place to sit when the music stops. Life is not a cakewalk as a Christian. It's hard living a life as a Christian and not sinning. Amen. And we know that all of sin comes short of the glory of God. But even after we've accepted Christ, we have to go down that road process called sanctification. Sanctification is a process in which you find out I'm not as spiritual as I thought I was. There's stuff in the life that, you know, like Pastor Bob says, turn to somebody and say, I'm not as spiritual as I try to make you think I am. That kind of stuff. Why? Because the Christian don't want to admit that's in my life. Because somebody else may say, well, you call yourself a Christian, you got that in your life? Yeah, I do, but God's working on it, okay? God's helping me with it. So we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We're going to sin. But it's not the thing about a lifestyle of sin.
No.
A lifestyle of sin is different than you going out and sinning. A lifestyle of sin is you living in a known lifestyle of sin, and you know it is. That's where our world is today. But don't judge. Well, I don't like what they're doing, Pastor Gene. What's that to you? What's that to me? God will judge. But our old human instinct, we say, yeah, but I don't like to be around that kind of person. Forget it.
Yeah.
Love them and go on. Care about your own self. Don't judge others. You with me? Submit yourself to Jesus Christ. There's going to be battles. You're going to have to fight and overcome them. You're going to have to fight them. God didn't save you to roll over and play dead. There's a purpose that you're here for. And if you don't know, you need to find out. I can't tell you what it is. God will tell you that. But you got to get along with Him to find out what it is. We all are here for a purpose. And that purpose is not to serve the God of this world. The God of this world is Satan. That's not our purpose. We've been called out, translated into the kingdom of light, God's dear Son, and we have a way into the throne of God, and His name is Jesus Christ. And it's through Him that we accomplish these things, as His Holy Spirit that's living and dwelling in us gives us the power to overcome those things which we can't with our own self. Making sense? But rest assured, we are overcomers.
Amen.
If you endure to the end. Not to say you may lose some treasures that was once laid up into heaven for you by your actions here on this earth today, but you will be saved as of by fire because you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that day of redemption, you're going to be changed. We'll all be changed.
Amen.
The moment in the twinkling of an eye. So, it's going to be a battle though, okay? When you open up your life for Satan to entertain you through the demonic end, it's a battle because he's gained ground in the life. Why? Because you did that sin. And that sin brings with it unclean spirits. And guess what their job is? Pump you up, stir you up, get you so angry that you do whatever you feel like that will give you some ease at that moment in time. And then you find out when it's all said and done and it's over, it's even worse than it was before. That's what Satan does for you. Even the child of God. And when you say, well, I know what God's Word says, but I'm going to do this anyway because I like what it does for me. I like the feeling. You know, I'm mad at that person. I choose not to forgive them because I want to be mad for a while. You ever been there? How about this? You have an awkward moment with your wife or your husband. You go to bed angry. You're laying in bed. Don't touch me. Don't let your foot touch me. Jerk away from me. You been there?
Yep.
Awkward moments, isn't it? Going to bed angry. Let the sun go down. And you're angry. And that will harbor there, okay? And all kinds of things. Well, she'd treat me more like a... You know. Satan will roll that through your mind. Because you didn't take those thoughts captive, did you?
Nope.
Having said all of that, how are we going to get these roots out? Remember I told you, pencil and pad? And as you read these scriptures, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. Yeah. I failed you there. I failed you there, Father. Write it down. Well, what am I going to write down? Well, if you read the scripture and it said, stop lying, the Holy Spirit will remind you, okay, you lied here, 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 you lied here. Pretty soon you're going to find out, I'm a liar. And you have to admit, I'm a liar. And if you look at it real close, you might say, that seems pretty prevalent in my life. What is that? It's a stronghold Satan has already built up in your life. In the Christian's life. You ever met people that just couldn't tell the truth no matter how? Their lies are so many that they don't remember what they lied about, so they tell another lie about that to try to cover up that lie. You name it. It's anything. It doesn't have to be that. It could be pornography. It could be masturbation. It could be anything. You say, you talking about that in church? Yes, somebody needs to talk about it because it's prevalent in the church.
Yes, sir.
Okay? So, when you harbor these resentments and bitterness and angerness against mother, father, brother, sister, aunt, children, boss, cohorts at work, schoolmates, you got schoolmates that hurt you when you were younger, you got to deal with it. You know, calling you, bullying you, calling you pimple face, all kinds of stuff. You know, you've lived it. Is there any resentment toward a boss or past boss or present boss that work with? Maybe you have been working really, really hard and here comes this new person in, less experienced than you, and you've been working so hard to be advanced and they advance that person. Any of that ever happened to you? See? And you say, okay. You start feeling bitterness toward your boss, bitterness toward that person, giving them the job because they're lesser qualified than me and I've been here longer. And you may feel like, well, if I were a man, I would have got that job if you was a female. Or if I were a woman, I would have got that job. Or if I was gay, I would have got that job. Or if I was lesbian, I would have got that job. Or if I was another nationality, I would have got that job. Or if I was another color, I would have got that job. You see what happens, what Satan starts doing? And then you say, well, they don't like me because I'm a Christian and they don't like us Jesus freaks. Folks, I'm telling you truth and you know it. Whether you want to hear it or not, that's how life goes down. And it hurts. It hurts. Deep down inside, the hurt is there. You know it, and I know it. And then you start thinking, what's wrong with me? Satan accusing you. What's wrong with me? Why am I like this? How come I can never advance? Satan will start accusing you. So what was it that God said in Ephesians 4:26-27? He said, don't sin by letting your anger control you, okay? Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry because, in verse 27, anger gives a foothold to the devil. Do you have bitterness and resentment in your heart toward your pastor, toward me, Pastor Bob? I've seen people leave church because of that. Because something was said and they took it out of context. Wouldn't go to the pastor and say, you've offended me. So they just off and gone. Nobody knows why. You know, it's your duty and your responsibility. If I've offended you, you come to me and say, Pastor Gene, you've offended me. And if I'm a man of God, I say, well, let's get it right. Where did I offend you at? And go on. But if you come to me and say, I've offended you, or you've offended me, Pastor Gene, and I say, grow up, get out of here. I don't want to hear it. Then did that help? No. So what's your duty and responsibility as a child of God? Get another brother. Go to him and say, I got brother here, two witnesses. My name, Pastor Gene. You've offended me. You didn't hear me the first time, and I got two witnesses. And if I say, I told you I don't want to hear what you got to say, then what do you do then? Get mad and go and leave church? Nope. Nope. According to the Word, then you bring it before the church. And how would you do that if it was me that's doing the offending? Then I need to go. Because I'm unwilling to forgive. And if I'm unwilling to forgive, God is not going to forgive me. And we're going to cover that. But that's part of church discipline. Let me give you a story. You may have bitterness toward a past political leader or a present political leader. What are you going to do with that? You may be angry with God. God may took someone home and you're angry. I was counseling with he was a friend, and I was talking to him about God. His wife had Alzheimer's, dementia, and he had to put her in the place, and she was there 9 years, and he would go every day and visit her every day. And he tried to take care of her at home, and it just got so bad it wouldn't. He couldn't. And so he had to put her in a place, and he'd visit with her every day, every day, every day. And finally, he just got so tired with it all, tired with life. Went out to God, mad, angry, and crying, picked up a bunch of rocks and threw them at God. Mad at him. That happens, folks. Hey, God's a big God. He can understand and He knows. He knows the heart. He sees the heart. But if you're mad at God, you know, sooner or later you'll come around and ask Him to forgive you. He understands the human heart, folks, more than you understand your own heart. Yep, he went out and threw rocks at God. He told me that. When I was 6 years old, we didn't have nothing. I was on welfare, okay, when we were raised up. My mother raised six of us kids by herself, out there working like a man in the tobacco fields and the hay field, all of that. We didn't have much. But it was the first day of school. I was 6 years old, had me on a new pair of shoes and overalls, feeling good about myself, going to go to school. All my friends are there. Well, before the school bell rang in this school, it was one of those schools where everybody went up through, I think it was the eighth grade. It used to be the whole from 1 through 12, but now they had middle school. So, but anyway, I went there. Everybody's on the merry-go-round. Bigger boys were really pushing it fast. I jumped on, real happy and having fun. Got up there, and it's going so fast, I edged my way up toward the center so it wouldn't sling me off. And the slats, the wooden slats, slipped, and my rear end fell down. And every time it goes around, it was bouncing on the ground like that. Well, the principal come out there and seen that, stopped the merry-go-round, jerked me up, and just spanked me really hard in front of everybody. That bruised me. Hurt my feelings, and everybody's laughing at me, pointing at me, laughing at me, and it hurt. It hurt bad. Well, I let it go. Years and years, but it was always there. And I in my heart, I said, one day, sucker, I'm going to grow up, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to cold cock you. If you don't know what I mean by cold cocking, it's just everything you got. Well, as life would take it in the Navy, still, that was there. All these years, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I knew where he lived, the principal. So I went back purposely in my heart, I'm going to take care of my business with him. Went up, knocked on his door. His wife come to the door, said, I'm sorry, but he's already passed away. Well, then that made me mad. I couldn't vent what I wanted to do. So all these years, it wasn't until 1997 at a prayer retreat in Baguio with about five or six pastors that one of the assignments was write down your sin list. I had 27 pages front and back of the yellow legal pad of sins. One of them was that. And I said, it's still there. It's still bothering me. And I had to ask forgiveness. And I said, Pastor Bob, the man's dead. He said, God knows. He said, here's what you do. Get a chair. Take the chair. And talk to God. And say, that man, the principal, though he's not there, but let's say that was him there. And tell him how that hurt you and offended you. But because you did that to me, I choose to forgive you. I choose to forgive you. Even though I didn't do nothing wrong, but I choose to forgive him. You say, that don't sound right to me. Trust me. Choose to forgive. Because that will start the healing process. That will start the healing process. And anyway, we had to deal with all of those sins and all of that stuff. And when I come out on the other side, oh, what a relief it is. What was that old commercial? Fly. Yeah. I mean, it was like the burdens of the past just lifted and melted away. And I could see clearly now. You know, I'm serious. Serious. It was like God just dissolved all of that stuff and the bitterness was gone. And there was nothing but love in my heart. That's where you want to get to, folks. That's where you want to get to. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves, God says. Those who indulge in sexual sins, or who worship idols, or commit adultery, or are male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality. I'm reading from the Word of God, New Living Testament, verse 10. Or are thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or abusive, or cheat people. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Look at verse 11. Some of you once like that. I was like that. Many of you were like that. And he's saying some of you were like that once, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. So don't tell me you can't come out of a lifestyle of sin. Amen. But where the culture is today, they don't want to call certain lifestyles of sin, sin. No. That's why you got to know what the Word of God says.
Amen.
Don't judge them. If you can witness, witness. But let the Holy Spirit be the guide. But he's saying here, we were like that once. How many of you were like that once? I was. And if you're like that now, hopefully God is dealing with you. Praise God, we've been washed, haven't we?
Amen.
We've been washed with the blood of the Lamb. We've been justified. And when I was doing those things and when I came to Christ and realized that God doesn't approve of these things, guess what? I tried to stop. Stop doing those things. And God doesn't want me to do. and He will help you. Help you grow. Help you overcome. It doesn't mean you won't fall back, but it does mean God will help you with it. God help me with my boys. Let's look at some more scriptures. Romans 1. Start with verse 22. Romans chapter 1, verse 22. And we'll go down to 32. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. See what they're doing? They're making their own gods, making them in the, like birds, animals, reptiles, instead of worshiping the Creator. They're worshiping the creatures that God had made. Verse 24. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading thing to each other's bodies. They traded the truth of God for a lie. They worshiped and served the things that God had created instead of the Creator, who is God Himself. And He is worthy, that is God, of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. You with me? Is that happening today? How about this? Verse 27. And men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, burned with lust for others, other men. Men did shameful things with other men. And as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty that they deserved. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, He abandoned them with their foolish thinking and let them do the things that they should never be done. In other words, these people, these women, these men who are practicing things, they thought it was foolishness if I acknowledge God. So God abandons them to their foolish thinking. You want to think it's foolishness to acknowledge me? Then I'll turn you over to do that stuff that your heart is desiring of you. Those things that you should never be doing. Verse 29. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness. This is where it leads, folks. You live a lifestyle like that, it's going to turn to every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey the parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises. They are heartless and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them also. So, if I can't have children, and I'm living in a lifestyle that won't produce children, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to recruit somebody. So we'll get organizations that will support our cause, and we'll push it. We'll push it on everybody. And that's what happens. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. His word doesn't change. Nothing changes with God and His Word. It's ever more steady, the same. Just because you will change and you want to make your life not align up with the Word of God doesn't mean that your way is right, because you're going against holy God. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Iniquity here is defined as an immoral or sinful act, and it's something that goes against God's will and separates us from His love. Iniquities, these are things that we just read. All of these scriptures we read before, these are iniquities, these are sins. Look at Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. His strength is more than adequate that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But verse 2, your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins has hid his face from you, and he won't hear you. You want to go on living a lifestyle of sin? He's not going to hear you when you pray. Not unless it's the prayer of repentance and asking for forgiveness. So if you ever wonder why it feels like that God's not hearing your prayers, check your sin list. Is there sin in the life? Could it be that your sins have separated you from God, that he won't no longer hear? It's not that he can. But when you choose to sin, then you're saying to God, I'm choosing to sin, so, you know. And then when it gets really bad and we're really hurting in a bad way, then we want to call out on God for help, don't we? That's how it goes. But no, not until, you know, I'm not going to live the way I'm supposed to be living. It's not until God will cut your knees down that you finally come and say, Lord, help me, help me, help me. And then so many times, many people will get help, and then they get feeling good again and right back to the same stuff. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, that's you, that's me, that's God was speaking to Solomon back in that time, speaking with the nation of Israel, but today it speaks to us because we're his children and also national Israel. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal the land. You know the land is polluted. It's polluted with murders. It's polluted with innocent blood from abortions. But he said, if you will turn from those wicked ways, confess your sins, I will forgive you and heal that land that blood has been spilt out on. Remember at Calvary when Christ was crucified, it was Matthew 28:46. When he was crucified, he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why had he forsaken him? Well, it was at this moment and this time, Jesus Christ has become sin. Who knew no sin, but he took upon himself the sins of all nations and all people. And it was at this time, for the first time in all of eternity, that Jesus, God's Son, was separated from him, from God, because he has become sin. Jesus has become sin, and God couldn't look upon sin. If God couldn't look upon his Son because he had become sin, what is he doing to you when there's sin in the life? Can he look upon you with sin in the life? No. But you have an advocate. You have someone. It was made from before the foundations of the earth was ever created. Knowing man will sin, man is going to fall, but we have to give them a way to be reconciled back to Holy God. So Jesus, you're going to go to the earth. You're going to live like the man that we created. You're going to suffer everything that they go through and suffer everything. But you will not be with sin because your nature is a godly nature. It's a divine nature. You're the Son of God. You're me in the flesh. So what happens to us? We come along, we're born in with the sin nature. That nature's in us. It was passed on from the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. And they lost their sinlessness, that nature. And now it became corrupt. And it's passed on from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. Right on to your generation, to your children's generation. We are born with a sin nature. The only thing that's going to change that is when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ Accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Believe on His name. Believe that He died on the cross for your sins, was buried, laid dead in that grave 3 days, and was resurrected, is now at the right hand of God making intercessions for me and you. Why? Because we accepted Him. We believed Him. And now we can be made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. And Him only. No other way.
No.
Works won't get it done.
No.
Doing all kinds of stuff. Nothing will get it done but the blood of Christ atoning, a cleansing for your sins. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10 says, the human heart is most deceitful of all things. Did you know that? The heart is most deceitful of all things. It's desperately wicked. And who really knows how bad it is? Verse 10. But I, the Lord says, I, the Lord, search that heart, search those hearts, and examine the secret motives. Why are you doing what you're doing? He knows. You're not fooling God. He knows. Well, I got to do this because of this. He knows your secret motives, okay? You can fool mankind. You can fool your mother, your father, your friends, your relatives. You ain't fooling God. He knows those secret motives. And He says, I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. So you're not going to get off scot-free. He will answer. And He knows. We're getting close to winding up, folks. A couple more hours, we'll be out of here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12 says, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you, they persecute you, they lie about you, and they say all sorts of evil things against you because you're my followers. You're being persecuted for what you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, verse 12, be happy about it. Be very glad. For great rewards await you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were also persecuted in the same way. So it's nothing new under the sun, folks. There's nothing coming down the pike that's never happened before. There's nothing new. The old prophets were persecuted. You will be persecuted if you're living for God. Matthew 5:43 to 48. You've heard this. You've heard the law says it. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. He's saying you've heard this. You heard that the law says that. But he's saying, Jesus is saying, but I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And I told the internet crowd this morning at the opening prayer, I said, when I prayed and asked God to bless our enemies, that they'd have a better understanding once they heard. Jesus is telling us to do that. He said, but there are enemies. There are enemies. Yes, they are. Bless them. Why? Because Jesus says, but I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as the true children of your Father in heaven. For He gives His sunlight both to the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt taxpayers do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. You get the application here in that principle, why you should love your enemies? You got to be willing to love, willing to love. It's easy to love those that love you, but love those that hate you, persecute you, and use you. Why? Because God tells us to do that. And it makes you more like the inhabitants in the kingdom of heaven. We can run around with children of God, because we are His children. with resentment and unforgiveness in our hearts all of our life, but don't expect God to forgive you. This is where this is headed, folks. The forgiving, unforgiving, forgiving. Look at Matthew 6:6-15. Jesus is saying, he's teaching them how to pray. But Matthew 6:16-15. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Verse 8, don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. Have you ever been praying something and it happened before you even got the prayer out? I've seen that happen. He knows what you need before you even ask Him. He knows your heart. He knows your intent. And He goes on in verse 9 and says, pray like this. Jesus is saying, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Verse 14, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So do you want God to only forgive you to the degree that you're willing to forgive others? That's what he's saying. To the degree that you will not forgive others, to that degree I will not forgive you. Look at 14 and 15 again. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Pretty clear, isn't it? So that's Jesus, that's the Lord's Prayer, teaching them how to pray. As I start wrapping this up in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, I'll be reading from the King James Version. Matthew 18, 21. Then Peter came unto him, that would be Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And he said, till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And the application is not 490 times. What he's referring to is this is carrying the meaning of no matter how many times your brother sins against you, forgive him. No matter how. Yeah, but you don't know what he's done. You don't. It doesn't matter, does it? Jesus says, forgive him. Forgive him. Forgive him. Forgive him. In verse 23, he said, therefore is the kingdom of God like a certain king which would take account of his servants. One day, there's going to be an account of his servants. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and there will be an accounting. Okay? Verse 24. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed 10,000 talents. Get this now. 10,000 talents. In silver, that would come to the amount of $52,800,000 that this servant owed. And when he had begun to reckon, you know, verse 24, he owed him 10,000 talents. Verse 25, but for as much as he did not have it to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and his children, and all that they had be sold, and payment to be made. How would you like to live in a society where that was practiced? Verse 25, but as much as he had not to pay, His Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. And the servant fell down, therefore, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him the debt. I think my last long cruise that I was on in the Navy, I was on the Dwight D. Eisenhower. We were out for 6 months, didn't have a port call at all. We were able to, we were going to have a port call, and that port call was Istanbul, Turkey. Istanbul is the largest city in Turkey. It's straddling the Bosphorus Strait, the boundary between Europe and Asia. And like I say, we've been there for 6 months sailing. I think it was time during Desert Shield, Desert Storm. I can't remember which one it was at that time, but it's when all of that was stirring up. So we got to pull into port, and I happened to be one of the lucky ones that got off on the early boats out to go into port. So we're there. I'm with some of my buddies, and we're just walking around. And as we're walking the corner, we run into shore patrol, and they said, hey, it's emergency recall. You got to get back to ship. We're pulling out again. Uh-oh. We ain't even been there 4 hours. But while we were there, we walked around the corner, and there was this big glass case all the way around. Glass, open case. And these women were sitting in there on stools and stuff, scantily dressed. And I asked one of the locals there, I said, what's this all about? And they said, well, that's men's wives that couldn't pay their debts. So we took the women, and they're working off his debt while he's in prison. You talking about gut-wrenching? I said, just get me out of here. Get me out of here. That happens, folks, today. Because it's just sickening, sickening. But that's real, real life. Thank God you don't live there. Some of you, there'd be a lot of wives in today's time from America in those places paying off men's debts that won't work. And the kids, they sold the kids and everything that they had to pay off the debt. So this servant said, please forgive me. Verse 26, he fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay you all. You know, and I always looked at that and I said, how are you going to pay off your debt if you're in prison? There's the answer. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, forgave him of that big debt. But he, the guy was just forgiven of that, went to one of his servants and owed him like 100 pence. And 100 pence is like $44. And he laid hands on him, tucked him around the neck, and saying, pay me all that you owe me. And he fell down at the servant's feet and said, hey, have patience with me. I don't have it now. Have patience with me and I'll repay y'all. But he wouldn't have patience with him. He took him, cast him into prison so that he would pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told the Lord all that was done. Their Lord being the master, the owner of these properties, this land, all of that. That's L-O-R-D, okay? Little L, not the Lord God. And he said, shouldest thou, he's talking to his Lord, said after he called him in and said to him, said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you asked me to. And I did. And his Lord was wroth with him. Verse 33, he said, should thou not have had compassion on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? And his Lord was wroth, mad, and he delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. And look at this, verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father, this is Jesus talking, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do to you also, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother the trespasses. So what is he saying God is going to do to him? He's going to turn him over to the tormentors. In that time frame, the tormentors were the jailers and these people who would torment the prisoners, constantly banging on the rails and stuff, poking them so they couldn't get sleep, do nothing, just tormenting them. But here, the tormentors are those unclean spirits and demons. Tormentors that will torment the soul. And he said, if you don't forgive, then God is going to turn you over to the tormentors. Amen. You see how serious it is?
Yes,
and these tormentors are the unclean spirits. Tormenting your soul every hour of the day. It reminds me of a prayer retreat we were having. We had a lady in a prayer retreat. She was a gruff lady. She'd been down the road a few times. Married, broken marriage. And when it come to the part that said, are you going to, you got to forgive. And the thing come up and she said, what do you mean I got to forgive? Yeah, your ex-husband. If you think I'm going to forgive that SOB, you got another thing coming. That was her words only. She didn't use those words or the initials. But that's what she said. She said, you don't know what that SOB has done to me. And she was serious. She had been so hurt and bruised and crushed by her ex-husband that there could never be any forgiveness. But thank God she come through the prayer retreat. She had a forgiving heart.
Amen.
And she was able to get over all of that. Forgiveness, folks, brings about healing. Okay? And it doesn't matter who is right or who was wrong. In God's kingdom, we got to forgive. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, closing prayer. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you now to do the work in the hearts of those who heard this message, heard your word. I'm asking God to show your people in the light of your word anything that may be in the life. Holy Spirit, illumining the scriptures in their hearts. Show these who heard this message, Father God, to search out their hearts. And if there's any bruise and wounds in the spirit, Lord, Holy Spirit, show them where that bitterness and that angerness is. And Father, if they need to make restitution, give them wherewithal to do so. Father, I ask you to bless your people in your holy name, Jesus. Father, bless those who have been wrongfully used. Bless those, Father God, who have suffered defeat. Bless those, Father God, who feels just like there's no way out. Bless them, Father God, and let them know there is a way out. Help them, Lord God. Give them forgiveness in their heart, Father God. Bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray in every way. Amen. Well, folks, I hope God has spoke to you through this message. May God bless you and yours real good until we meet again. Good day, good evening, or good night, whatever the case may be.